When you cut through the noise, what's really at stake is how we remain true to who we are in a world that is remaking itself at dizzying speed.
In a moment, the president raises the issue of where government-collected electronic data should live legally. We'll speak with Todd Zwillick about how much the president can do on his own and how much requires congressional approval. The president's new directive on electronic surveillance asks a lot of questions. It seems to rein in the NSA's vast capabilities revealed in the Edward Snowden archive and tightens the oversight over broad searches and phishing expeditions without a warrant. This preoccupation with oversight of the NSA, though, while important, concerns Lawrence Wright, staff writer for The New Yorker and author of The Looming Tower, Al-Qaeda and the Road to 9/11. Wright says there is a much more basic question behind all of today's proposed reforms, and that is, has the NSA made the case that its data collection has actually made this country more safe from attack?
Well, this is a debate that's been going on since 9/11. You know, do we have the powers? Have we given our intelligence agencies enough power to counter the terrorist threat, or do we need to award them additional powers? Since 9/11, we've awarded the intelligence agencies vast new powers under the Patriot Act and national security letters. And it is under the Patriot Act that allows the intelligence agencies to collect tangible things, any tangible things that might be used in a terror investigation. It's a very broad authorization, and the intelligence agencies have taken ample use of it, especially in the case of metadata collection.
Do you think technologically the NSA has rendered the FISA court system and the Church Committee's oversight ideas obsolete?
Well, that was the opinion of one of the judges last month in Washington. He felt that this was really, this metadata collection was so informative. You could learn so much about an individual through tracking his calls, that really was a violation of the Fourth Amendment. And then another judge that same month ruled that it was not. And the Supreme Court will finally have to decide that, I'm sure. But there's another question, John, that's underlying this, is whether it's effective. That's something that I don't think that case has been made yet.
In your book, The Looming Tower, Al-Qaeda and the Road to 9/11, you make a very compelling case that what was critical in terms of intelligence information that was known about before the attack was the lack of cooperation between agencies. Do you think that problem still exists or has been addressed in any way since 9/11?
Yeah, I do think it still exists, and we have examples of where the failure to communicate between federal agencies has come close to disaster. If you remember the Christmas Day flight of this young Nigerian man, whose name was Omar Farouk Abdulmutallab, 2009, his father went to the CIA and told them that his son was a radical Islamist extremist who was in Yemen, and he was afraid that he might be mixed up with Al-Qaeda. This is 8 years after 9/11, and the CIA did not tell the FBI.
And you also make the case that the intercepts of agencies like the NSA provide tantalizing clues to piece together what happened after an attack, but are of questionable value in predicting an attack. In light of the Snowden revelations and the new capabilities of the NSA, do you think the NSA has any better capability to predict, or is it just more noise?
You have to be selective in this. You know, they're trying to store the data for all calls. And if you have the capacity to look at everything, it makes it difficult to know exactly what to look at. If you go back to the 9/11 calls, the judge in New York was trying to make the case in his decision that, and it's based on statements that former FBI Director Robert Mueller has made, former CIA agents have made, or the current NSA head have all said, if we had this metadata collection, we could have stopped 9/11. And yet, they had that capacity. They had the telephone number in Yemen. They were tracking it. They were using it to map out the social network of Al-Qaeda. It was one of the most valuable things that investigators ever had. they could find out who was calling that number. They called it the Al-Qaeda switchboard, and they would know where the person was calling from, and then they would find out who that person was calling for them. And then that way, they were able to map the global network of Al-Qaeda. Now, the FBI thought that it was getting all of the information from the NSA, but it wasn't. The NSA was giving that information to the CIA, and the CIA was keeping it from the knowledge of the FBI investigators. And why they were doing that is an unanswered mystery. They had all the legal authority they needed. They didn't need any extra legal authority to do their job. They just needed to know that Al-Qaeda was in America.
So in thinking about reform of the NSA or responding to the Snowden allegations and the controversies surrounding them, do you think the priority of this administration should be to clarify the legal authority, to push back the discretion of the NSA, or to bolster and fundamentally rethink the whole idea of the FISA court system and the oversight mechanisms?
My personal feeling is that we have to understand that transparency is now the order of the day. WikiLeaks, Edward Snowden, it's going to be very hard to keep secrets anymore in an age where information is so easily passed. I think we have to look at a fundamental change and make our intelligence agencies more a part of the process. I think that their notion of overvaluing secrecy has led them to many errors in the past. And I think we could have a much intelligence agency if it were more open and more engaged with the public, and rather than trying to secretly collect information on everybody.
And that mission can't be tweaked into existence. It involves a fundamental rethinking of the strategy of intelligence collecting.
I think so. I think that we're at a point where the intelligence agencies, they've been reorganized since 9/11. We've got a whole new bureaucracy, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. We have the National Counterterrorism Center, where these secrets are supposed to be exchanged and not closeted as they were before 9/11. But that's not always the case. So there's no perfect system. We don't want to handicap our intelligence agencies, but we want to make sure that they have checks and balances. And in the case of this complete collection of all calls, tracking everybody, that's not a check and a balance.
Lawrence Wright is a staff writer for The New Yorker and author of The Looming Tower, Al-Qaeda and the Road to 9/11. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure, John. Thank you.
Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
I am therefore ordering a transition that will end the Section 215 bulk metadata program as it currently exists and establish a mechanism that preserves the capabilities we need without the government holding this bulk metadata.
And with that, President Obama takes many of the recommendations of his special review panel on the way the National Security Agency collects intelligence. Metadata collection must go, the president says. He's initiated a transition away from what has been business as usual at the NSA. Are we safer from terrorism? Are we safer from being spied on by our own government? Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick joins us. Todd?
Hi, John.
Can we answer those questions? The president certainly went beyond what people were saying as recently as 24 hours ago.
That's true, but there's a long way to go in so many of these transitions. We know a couple of things that are going to happen right away, like today in the next 2 months, and then a lot of unanswered questions because it relies on Congress, where there are so many divides between Democrats themselves, between Republicans themselves, and between the parties, so we can't answer a lot of those questions. One thing that we do know that's going to happen right away is that the president is ordering the NSA to dial back when they're searching the metadata, when they're actually going through their bulk collection for a foreign terrorist target, dialing back how many hops, how many steps away from a target they take in terms of phone numbers, how many people that person has communicated with. Now, dialing it back from 3 to 2, not a huge jump, but basically paring back their ability to search.
Let's explore that, though, because the language here was very, very detailed for a speech that was at the Justice Department and really intended for all of Americans to hear. There was a lot of maybe opaque specificity here. Here's one example.
I've ordered that the transition away from the existing program will proceed in two steps. Effective immediately, we will only pursue phone calls that are two steps removed from a number associated with a terrorist organization instead of the current three. And I have directed the Attorney General to work with the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court so that during this transition period, the database can be queried only after a judicial finding or in the case of a true emergency.
Let's take the last bit first there. Only after a judicial finding, that's sort of like it is now with the FISA court, and only in the case of a true emergency. Now, is that different from what the Bush administration, for instance, talked about as a true emergency? You know what I mean?
This is always the problem with national security and government pronouncements of this kind. What's a true emergency? Isn't that subjective? One guy's emergency is another guy's excuse. So we don't know quite what that means yet, although with all the public scrutiny, maybe we can imagine that a true emergency is a little closer to the definition, John, that maybe you and I would hold and not some intelligence
imminent
official.
Attack, that sort of thing.
Imminent attackers or something like that. We don't know exactly what that means, and that's important. Now, judicial finding is ambiguous, too, because judicial finding is not a warrant. A warrant is a warrant. And a lot of people don't want that database queried without a FISA warrant. And this is the difference now between the immediate time when the president says no searching without a judicial finding or a true emergency and what Congress is going to have to decide between now and the end of March when the authorization for these programs expire and the lawmakers are going to have to weigh in, which is, do you need a FISA warrant to query the database of these calls? The database isn't going anywhere. Phone companies keep this data. The question is,
it's in the cloud.
It's in the cloud. Where will the data live? Not physically, Nevada or Florida. Where will it live? What servers? What computers? Who will be the gatekeepers? That's the most important thing. Will it be private companies, a third party? Will the government do it? And then what are the rules for accessing it? Is it a warrant, a judicial finding? How often? When can you search?
And
they're saying no more blank warrants.
Will there be an attorney really holding them accountable to some of these details, which also is something Congress would have to rule on? Todd Zwillick,
right.
Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
You bet.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.